Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present, one's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing, okay? The schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Hour number 3 this morning, actually, And we'll have most of this up here in the not too very distant future. David Shostokos was with us to kick things off. We talked about the Trump trial that's getting ready to launch. Donald Jr. testifies today. Eric testifies tomorrow. Ivanka testifies on Friday, and the president testifies on Monday. In the Letitia Adams, the New York case that's happening regarding property valuation. We talked about the implications of that and what may or may not get snuck in there that could have effects on any of the other cases. In addition to that, we talked about J6 and we talked about free speech. And so we got into that. Melanie Collette and I had a great conversation about Black Lives Matter aligning itself with Hamas and just a lot of the dispelling a lot of the things that are being taught and said and spoken in the Black community in particular, just kind of really going back and talking about some historical things. And it was a great conversation and talking about the persecution of conservative Blacks as they speak out, Black conservative Americans. Then Rick Manning and I, great conversation about where we are and potentially pending terrorist threats, as well as some good things that the Speaker of the House is doing to try to curtail spending and separate out the Israel aid from the Ukrainian aid and taking the money that has been designated for the IRS and moving it over. None of which, by the way, none of those things will be shared with you in mainstream news. I mean, you're not going to hear any of that in mainstream news. You'll hear about the Trump case because they want to make sure that everything they paint about that picture is negative. And whether you like President Trump or you don't like President Trump or you're on the side, please remember that the media should not be dictating who wins and who loses in a court case. Michael Morris, welcome to the program, Newsbusters, Free Speech America, and CensorTrack.org. Greetings, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
I mean, that's one of the things that you guys try to, watchdog, right, is the media peddling bias instead of just sharing the information. I mean, it's okay if you say up front we're writing an opinion piece. That's great, but shouldn't news organizations somewhere within some pocket of the news organization just share the news, no bias?
Absolutely right. And look, we're very careful. Our news outfit, CNS News over here, Newsbusters, MRC TV, all of our groups here at the Media Research Center are very careful to point out when we're doing commentary, when we're doing blogs, or when it's straight news items. But these legacy outlets, the liberal media, are masquerading as news operations while pumping out ridiculous commentary and pretending that the American people are none the wiser. I mean, let's take the Israel-Hamas conflict for a moment, just as an example. The New York Times, Time Magazine, Politico, and Reuters all ran with news items haphazardly gobbling up the Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry's claim that Israel, with an airstrike, blew up a Gaza-based hospital. They're headlines. These were headlines saying Israel airstrike, kills 500 people at a Gaza hospital. But they just took Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry's claims for the truth.
Right.
And later, some of them even had to correct it. Incredible. Incredible.
While at the same time, right, they took the story about 40 babies being beheaded, put it out, and then retracted it and said, it never happened. That's not true. Never happened.
Yeah, and time again, you can see them trying to pacify or make it appear as though somehow the Hamas terror group is the victim here. And it's just insane the length that they'll go
to protect the leftist narrative. And, you know, the Israel-Hamas conflict is no exception, unfortunately.
Well, and you know, as I was mentioning, relative, you know, switching gears and relative to the trial with President Trump, you know, they're working really hard to try to push a narrative of, you know, Jared Kushner and Ivanka are now no longer in President Trump's camp. It's like they've rebelled from the family. They're gonna sell all kinds of terrible things, and they're just gonna tell these horrible things about how terrible President Trump is. They're working really hard on that angle, it seems like to me.
Well, look, it's not just them. ABC, CBS, NBC, Comedy Central, the late night hosts also get in on this. Trump and Santos jokes, 319 from the late night host. Meanwhile, if you're looking at Biden and Menendez, kind of comparable figures on the left, only 47 jokes from the late night host. So it's not just the legacy media and the big three networks talking about and disparaging conservatives, Republicans, Christians, free thinkers, and pushing the left narrative, but also the late night comedy host getting in on the act, pushing the same sorts of narratives, going against the right. 319 jokes levied at Trump and Santos, with only 47 at Biden and Menendez. I mean, it is a full court press from the press, the liberal press.
Yeah, it and of course, I mean, the whole thing, you know, again, whether you support President Trump or you don't support President Trump, you know, the efforts and the level of assault, and from what I'm understanding, the thing that right now has him so kind of frustrated, and I don't know if this is true or not true, but it would make sense. I'm a dad, you know. They're going after his kids. I mean, that's the thing that I think has, you know, has him so, you know, has him pretty worked up. And I think, you know, any good dad, and here's what's crazy, and maybe this is, you know, something to, but here's what's crazy. The left media has made it very clear, Michael, that they're very anti-family.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, time and time again, they're anti-life. I would argue to some degree. Now, that may be a bit of a misnomer. What are they? They're pro-abortion, right? So they would say that.
I'm sorry. I mean, that's like I was watching something that I know. I was at the doctor's office, and they asked a question. You know, they said, "Do you drink? Do you smoke? Are you taking any illegal drugs?" And I said to her, I said, "Do people actually tell you that they're taking illegal drugs?" And my wife was like, "Honey, they have to because they need the doctor's help." And I'm like, "No, but I mean, come on, let's, you know," and the gal was like, "Well, you know, yeah, we have to ask that." And I'm like, so they really tell you, "I'm taking illegal drugs." I mean, that, right? I mean, I'm just trying to think, you know, I'm just trying to use a little common sense here, okay? You know, and by the way, because of the doctor's oath, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody you're taking illegal drugs. So, you know, go ahead. Let's, you know, run. We can run the drugs right through here. Just give me my cut. I don't know. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, look, the leftist bias is just—it's right out there in the open now, and they're not concerned at all about pushing their agenda. And it's an anti-life agenda. It's an anti-God agenda, and wouldn't you know it, it's an anti-Israel agenda. We actually, over here at MRC Free Speech America, my boss Dan Schneider, vice president, actually ran a study using Google's Bard. Now, for those of you that don't know what Google's Bard is, that is a chatbot similar to OpenAI's ChatGPT.
Okay.
And he asked it, what is Hamas, right? And while Bard can tell you what the Irish Republican Army is, it can tell you what Black Lives Matter is, it can tell you all sorts of things about Antifa, What it doesn't seem to know is that Hamas is a terrorist organization. Bard, Google's Bard, appears to be running cover for Hamas.
Say that one more time.
Google's Bard, the AI chatbot, seems to be running cover for Hamas because it cannot tell you what Hamas is. Again, it can tell you all sorts of other things. We've gone a step further, too. We asked what the capital of Israel is, right? Bard can tell you all the countries around and surrounding Israel's capital, but it cannot tell you what the capital of Israel is. For those of you that don't know, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Apparently, Google's Bard can't give you that answer. It can give you other capitals, but not the capital of Israel. This just shows the ingrained bias. It's not just in legacy media. It's not just these big tech social media platforms anymore. Now it's in artificial intelligence as well.
Well, bear in mind, right, we understand this, that, you know, artificial intelligence, for the most part, only works predicated on how it's programmed. Although I know, I mean, there's certainly reason to believe that there's some, I don't know, some activated sense of being sentient. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is that the parameters that they are programmed with, at least at this point, are the parameters by which they make their determinations. They have to have some form of a moral bearing on this equation put in by somebody. So whoever programmed them in such a way so as to be advocates of this terrorist organization. And that's a scary thought.
No, exactly right. And look, you know, this is a symbol of what Google is up to at its base level. There are people that draft these algorithms that create artificial intelligence, as you were talking about. And time again, we've seen that Google has buried Republican presidential campaign websites. They've hid Senate Republican campaign websites before the 2022 election. They actually elevated Planned Parenthood the day before the March for Life when just searching for the term pregnancy, innocuous term. And it elevates a pro-abortion group. Google has a consistent left-wing political agenda, and now it's on full display as we see terrorists attacking Israel, and it's just insane.
Well, and that, unfortunately, is going to be, you know, worse. I mean, that's going to be an even bigger issue as we continue. I guess, you know, the other concern that I wonder is, will the media cover, you know, what these marches that are taking place, and the inherent tone of violence that seems to be a part of these marches?
You know, it's an excellent question, and you can bet if it runs counter to the left narrative, they're most likely not going to cover it. You know, just to double back a little bit on Israel and Hamas, we were talking about headlines earlier from the New York Times, Time Magazine, Politico, and Reuters. Google's not the only one that's biased. There are also these groups, these so-called media monitors, these watchdogs of sorts, these internet traffic cops, these media traffic cops that are out there like NewsGuard. They claim to give ratings for media outlets. And wouldn't you know it, of the four outlets that I talked about, the liberal outlets, New York Times, Time Magazine, Politico, and Reuters, that wrote false headlines about the Gaza hospital, NewsGuard still gives them a 100 score. Now, why is that important? NewsGuard is used by advertisers, all right, to look at what media outlets they should do their advertisements on. And so you've got these foul players, these biased actors telling ad companies which media outlets they should be advertising with. And they are not docking leftist outlets. Meanwhile, they're targeting conservative outlets and telling and signaling to advertisers they should not be advertising on their website.
That's really scary. I mean,
it's horrifying. It
really is. Well, you know, I just saw something come across my desk. You know, Visa Inc. Came out in 2020 with a big, pro BLM endorsement. And in light of everything that we have, you know, learned about BLM and who they are and what they are and what they've done and financial embezzlements and everything else, there's been an ask by the National Legal and Policy Center that they would remove their Black Lives Matter endorsement, especially since Black Lives Matter has endorsed the Hamas attack on Israel.
That's right. One of the chapters actually had, I believe it was a hang glider image.
The Chicago.
And posted on social media.
Yep. The Chicago chapter of BLM Grassroots tweeted an image of a hang glider with a Palestinian flag captioned, "I stand with Israel." Mind you, hang gliders were used by Hamas in the murder and taking of hostages of those that were at the Tribe of Nova Music Festival. They also wrote in their national organization issued a statement in solidarity with the Palestinian people against the backdrop of a Palestinian flag when a people have been subject to decades of apartheid and unimaginable violence. Well, these are all misrepresentations. And I actually played a clip yesterday on my program of a gentleman who is Arab, who is part of, said, "I've got family members in Hamas. I've got family members in the PLO. I am the quintessential Palestinian." Let me tell you who provides us with our jobs. Let me tell you who provides us with opportunities to make our lives better. It's not the Palestinians. It's not the PLO. It's not Hamas. No. 500,000 of us every single day travel from Gaza into Israel and work in Israel at a upper echelon, high level wage that benefits us, our communities, and our families. And now you want to wipe those people off the map. You're misinformed, is what he said.
Wow. And you know, the moral equivalence that the leftist media tries to make between the Hamas butchering of Israeli citizens and what Israel is doing to defend itself from a terrorist organization is absolutely astounding. You know, they were talking about cutting off power to Gaza before the mobilization. And again, with the disturbing acts that this terrorist group has made, I've read recently, butchering children, butchering moms and dads, taking grandparents, concert goers, and even most recently here, putting a baby in an oven and forcing a mother who's being raped, this is according to reports, to listen to her young child dying. I mean, it's
horrific
stuff.
Absolutely horrific. No doubt. Folks, follow Newsbusters. They are exposing all of this. They're talking about it. They're putting it out, and they're calling the media out for their biases. Newsbusters. Also, Free Speech America and CensorTrack.org. If you've been censored, reach out to CensorTrack.org. They'd love to hear from you. They'd love to inquire on your behalf and give you a hand, and they will. I promise. They've done it for me. Michael, thanks so much for being with us today. I greatly appreciate everything that happens at Media Research Center, MRC. MRC. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. Joel Gilbert joins me right after this, and we'll take a little break. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen-size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king-size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural ortho-silic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, I'm very, very pleased to have my next guest with me. I've talked about him tons over the last few years, in particular pointing to his documentary and exposure of Benjamin Crump and the Trayvon Martin case. But he's done a variety of these kinds of incredibly vital documentaries and investigative journalistic items. And I'm just so pleased to be able to welcome him to the program. I want to welcome Joel Gilbert to the program. Joel, welcome. Great to have you. Thanks for coming back on the program. You're muted. There we go.
All right. Great to be back. Thank you.
Hey, good to have you. Good to have you. Well, this next topic, it's interesting as we watch, right? We're watching Joe Biden and the Biden crime family getting exposed. Mike Johnson has made it very clear that he is going to, cut the Republican House loose on the investigation and what's going on there and inquiries and so forth. And it just keeps getting worse and worse, not to mention the senility issue. Kamala Harris, I don't think, is doing herself any favors every time she comes in front of a microphone. So that leaves us with Michelle Obama.
Well, I've made the case. I got a book and a film out called Michelle Obama 2024. And it's called the subtitle, Her Real Life Story and Plan for Power. So what I did is I did a full research of Michelle Obama because no one else has done that before. All the articles about her for the past 15 years have been all positive. She wrote two autobiographies that are kind of all positive and kind of rewriting her history. She's also been telling these stories for years about how she was from the South Side of Chicago. Even in her movie version of her autobiography, Becoming, she says, I'm from the South Side of Chicago, and there's nothing else you need to know about me. And I thought, oh, that tells me there's a lot more I need to know about her. So I actually went to Chicago, and I interviewed a ton of people, her elementary and high school classmates, teachers and principals, her mother, three of her boyfriends, her Princeton University thesis advisor, just a ton of people that knew her. And a completely different picture of Michelle Obama emerges. And I tell that story of her real life story, which is nothing like she's been telling. And I think her plan to run for president, because I noticed that starting after Trump got elected, she started copying everything Barack did to run for president before he became a candidate. Barack had a voter registration organization in Chicago called Project Vote. Michelle started a voter registration organization called When We All Vote. And she got $26 million from the George Soros Group for that organization. Barack wrote two autobiographies, The Dreams for My Father and The Audacity of Hope. And he based his candidacy on his personal story. Sure enough, Michelle wrote two autobiographies, Becoming and The Light We Carry. They're also both on Netflix as movies. And, Barack was the keynote speaker who introduced John Kerry at the 2004 Democrat convention. Sure enough, Michelle was the keynote speaker that introduced Joe Biden at the 2020 convention. So I think she's done everything she knows how to do to prepare to run for president. And I think the Democrat Party set it up for her. They moved the first primary out of Iowa, where Michelle would have had to campaign in 100 counties, to South Carolina, where half of the electorate for the are African-American for the Democrat primary. It's also a state Michelle claims as her adopted home state because her grandparents are from South Carolina. And they put the Democrat National Convention in Chicago, Michelle's hometown of all places. So I'm predicting that we've got a December 23rd deadline coming up to get on all the primary ballots. I'm predicting Michelle will announce for president sometime here in November and get on all the primary ballots. And I tell the whole story in the book and the film.
You know, something else that people should know about you, Joel, too, is that, you know, you did a deep dive also, though, into Barack.
Yeah.
And his book, when his book came out. And you were one of the ones who, really uncovered some of the truths, even the possibility that Frank Marshall might actually be the father of yeah, Barack Obama.
I'm pretty well known for that one. It's called Dreams from My Real Father. And I went to Hawaii three times to investigate Barack Obama's story from his book and about his background story. That was three times more than all the media put together went to go to Hawaii, to question people. And I think I presented the case that Barack's real biological father was not the Kenyan student that he claimed, Barack Obama, that he looks nothing like, but it was the man that Barack says raised him in Hawaii, which was Frank Marshall Davis, who he looks just like, who is was a Russian agent in the Cold War, a Communist Party member and a radical communist, one of the original black Bolsheviks out of Chicago who had moved to Hawaii. And Barack was radicalized by Frank Marshall Davis into this socialist worldview. And I think that movie still makes an impact today.
Well, it certainly seems, you know, prescient with regards to, you know, the issues that we're currently dealing with. You know, one of the things relative to that I'd like to ask you about, too, Barack Obama left office, to my understanding, and I don't know if you've looked into this. You probably did because you looked at Michelle Obama. He's probably the first president or former president that I know of who actually formed a cabinet after he left the White House and moved his chief of staff into his home and basically essentially created, a White House six blocks from the actual White House.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, even though the Obamas have a climate-denying summer home in Martha's Vineyard right on the ocean there, they did move into a house in Washington, D.C., never been done before. Valerie Jarrett moved into the house with them. And it's been documented that, number one, about 70% of Biden's staff is made up of former Obama people, including Biden himself, and that Obama meets with the staff regularly and that he consults with the members of Congress. He's clearly still the head of the Democrat Party, and I think he ran the opposition to Donald Trump for years from that house in Washington, and he's still there. Don't forget also the Obamas have a nationwide political action organization called Organizing for America. It was formed in 2008, 2009. It's a radical community organizing group nationwide. And they take up any issue that Obama has, and they do protests and they do community activism. So there's no question in my mind that they can just flip the switch for Michelle Obama, get her all the signatures she needs, and start campaigning for Michelle.
There really isn't any more a competition, a valid competition between the Clintons and Obamas. The Obamas clearly have taken over the Democrat Party. Is that an accurate assessment?
Well, yeah, I think when Barack beat Hillary, even back in the primaries in 2008, he became the head of the Democrat Party. And then by bringing Hillary into the cabinet as Secretary of State, he further cemented his leadership role and made the Clintons subservient to him. Hillary's been running around for a few years, kind of bitter, making bitter comments how, you know, Trump was not legitimate, but clearly the Democrat Party no longer pays attention to her, and they do pay attention to the Obamas.
What is this relationship? I saw in the press release from AJ. What is this thing about Michelle Obama and her father being involved with Mayor Daley?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Michelle has floated various stories over the years about her father being a janitor, working at the water department, or just being a regular kind of, you know, guy. But in fact, her father had a patronage job. A patronage job is when the city government and the political people in power give out jobs to their cronies so they can have easy jobs and they can do political work on the side. And that's really what their real job is. So Michelle's father was a precinct captain in Chicago. His job was to get out the vote of the black community to vote for the white liberals. And so her father was a politician. And Michelle talks about from age four going around with her father to different houses and campaigning. She talks about people coming to their house for money that they wanted out of the Democrat Party machine. So Michelle knows politics. She grew up with politics. She was best friends with Jesse Jackson's daughter, Santita, and kind of grew up in Jesse Jackson's house for a couple of years when Jackson was running for president in the early 80s. So Michelle really is a political animal. She's a better speaker than Barack. She's a better politician than Barack. She comes across more authentic. And she, Barack and Michelle both had a professor at Harvard named Charles Ogletree. And he had said that between Barack and Michelle, he thought that Michelle would be the one to run for president and not Barack.
Wow.
So, you know, Michelle, she's a politician. She married a politician. She married her father. So she's very much into politics. And you might remember her disclaimer. People kind of come up and they say, oh, well, didn't Michelle say she hates politics? Well, all politicians hate politics. They like the power part of it, but they don't like politics. And that the reason that came up is you might remember in 2008, Michelle was campaigning for Barack to on her own, speaking to huge crowds every night. And it was very negative. She was trashing the United States. She would say things every night like, you can't pay your mortgage. You can't pay for food. Don't get sick in this country. The healthcare system won't help you. And then one night she said, for the first time in my life, I'm proud of my country because Barack won a primary.
And
she thought she was saying something positive, you know. But the media picked up on that, and she got a lot of negative press finally. And that's when the Obama campaign said, look, you know, we could lose because of you. People are going to hate you. So the next day she came out and said, oh, I hate politics. I just want to be the mom in chief. And so she's kind of kept that up ever since, that she doesn't like politics and she likes to help children and this kind of thing. So she's had about 15 years of all this positive publicity, hundreds of magazine covers, hundreds of interviews, hundreds of talk shows. And she's probably the most popular person in the country. Now, the biggest problem, though, that I reveal in my book and film is that Michelle's biggest vulnerability, in fact, is her terrible history and terrible relationship with the Black community in Chicago. And this is very important because Michelle pretends to be one of these ordinary, I'm just an ordinary Black person from the South Side of Chicago. And I talks about suffering discrimination and overcoming these obstacles and says success was not meant for me, little Black girl from the South Side of Chicago. Turns out that entire story is a lie. It's a manipulation to trick Black and minority voters into supporting her politically, thinking that she has a common experience or identifies with them, but it's all lies. Michelle grew up in her youth. She refused to study with other Black kids. Instead of going to schools one block from her house, South Shore High School, one block away, that was all good high school, but all Black, her and her brother both went an hour away to study at a Catholic school and a magnet school, even though they weren't even Catholic. Michelle refused to go to an elementary school with all Black kids. Her mother illegally put her in a different school. Michelle writes in her book about getting beat up by the local Black kids and being afraid of them because they would accuse her of acting white and talking white. She even writes about getting into a fist fight with a girl who called her an Oreo, which is a racial insult. I mean, you're Black on the outside, but you're really a white girl on the inside. So Michelle had a terrible experience growing up with the Black community. I got her on film. She talks about living in fear of the Black community. So once she got a job and worked in Chicago, Michelle exploited the Black community on behalf of white liberals. When white liberals had a problem with the Black community, they couldn't hire a white person to exploit them. So Michelle took those jobs. Michelle worked for the mayor of Chicago. She was the assistant planning commissioner, and she helped to kick out 20,000 Black residents from their homes at Cabrini Green. It was a project that they knocked down. The city knocked it down and gave away the land to these Democrat donor developers like Tony Resco. They wanted the land. And Michelle told the Black people, this is going to be good for you, that we're knocking down your home. And having proven that she could do the dirty work, Michelle was hired by the University of Chicago Medical Center. They were losing money because Black Southsiders were using their emergency room and didn't have good insurance. So they hired Michelle to set up something called the Southside Health Collaborative. And what they would do is, if you were Black and showed up at the emergency room, Michelle would put you in a van and dump you back on the South Side at a strip mall clinic. And Michelle would say, this is going to be good for you. And it was illegal. It was called patient dumping. You can't do that. It's not legal. Wow. So Michelle made hundreds of thousands of dollars exploiting and abusing the Black community. And that's her biggest vulnerability, because Black voters are no fools. And if they saw my film and they learned how Michelle was afraid of Black people growing up, refused to study with them as a kid, and then exploited them as an adult, they would not support the Obamas.
How much of a parallel? It's interesting, as you were talking a few moments ago about Michelle and, you know, growing up, traveling, going with her father door to door, watching the political machine in action and so on. It sounds very similar to the path to the Hillary Clinton path. In a way, right? You know, I mean, you know, Hillary Clinton's family, the Rodhams, were also politically active in Chicago. She had aspirations as a young person. She was a part of the Watergate investigation. She married Bill Clinton, and many say that she was the mastermind behind Bill Clinton getting into the White House, getting into the governor's mansion in Arkansas. Are there parallelisms there that you see between Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama?
Yeah, ironically, the Clinton couple and the Obama couple have a lot in common. The husband in the relationship is kind of a real friendly guy who gets people inspired to vote and who's kind of likable. And then the woman but is also very disorganized. And then the woman in the relationship is very well organized and says, you know, you got to go see this person and go see that person. Michelle got a job at the mayor's office really to get contacts for Barack's political career. That's how she met Tony Rezko and all these Democrat donors. So Michelle and Hillary have a lot in common that they're both, you know, more political, better politicians, better organized than their husbands. And both of them want to be president. So I think that's clear.
How realistic, I know you're talking about this, and I've had several people that have been on my program over the course of the last few years, or last couple of years, that have said this, that have said, you know, don't be surprised if at some point Michelle Obama steps forward and you know, becomes a candidate for president. The Democrat Party settles on her, so to speak. From your perspective, what are the things that you think would have to happen to get to that place, Joel?
Well, first of all, nobody wants Joe Biden. The Democrat Party doesn't want him. They think he's too old. The down-ballot Democrats running for state senator, Congress, governor, all over the country are terrified that Biden will bring down the ticket, and they don't want him. The average Democrat voter thinks he's too old and is very upset about his policies. A terrible failure, inflation, the border, Ukraine, you name it. He's got serious corruption charges that are going to be coming, probably including an impeachment. So the Democrats just don't want Biden, period. They're hunkering for somebody else to come along. But at this point, I think you'll remember, pretty interesting, when RFK Jr. announced for president, a week later, Biden released a video back in April, said he's going to run in 2024. Now, a video is not a three-minute video is not really an announcement. An announcement is where you go talk before a big crowd and make the case why you should run again and what you've accomplished and what you're going to do next. And you have a tour around the country and do all these speeches to all your fans and people that want to come out. Biden couldn't do that because he doesn't have people that would come out, you know, at all. So, but when he released the 3-minute video, it's pretty interesting that Susan Rice quit the next day. Now, Susan Rice is clearly on Team Obama. And I think that was an indication that maybe the Obamas don't completely control Biden. I guess he figured he wanted to run again because he figures, well, with all this ballot stuffing going on, it would be in the ballot harvesting. It'll be an easy win. Why not? You know, Jill has said on record that she likes politics, that for her, it's a lifestyle. So why not? So to me, that indicated that maybe the Bidens don't completely control old man Joe. So to what it's going to take, I think it doesn't take much. Michelle just has to announce for president. Biden doesn't have to drop out, just like Teddy Kennedy ran against Jimmy Carter. Biden doesn't have to drop out. He can still say he's running. Michelle just has to announce for president. I think she'll say exactly what she said when she introduced Joe Biden at the 2020 Democrat convention. She'll say, you know, I hate politics, but I love this nation and I love your children, and I've decided to run for president. So people have been asking me, you know, something like that. And that's it. Biden can run all he wants. They'll get to South Carolina primary and Michelle will trounce him and he'll eventually drop out. So that's all it's going to take.
Where's Kamala sit in all this, do you think?
Kamala doesn't sit anywhere. I mean, people make the political pundits make the mistake constantly, especially white political pundits, make the mistake of claiming or thinking that the black community or black women are somehow very invested in and attached to Kamala Harris, but they're just simply very mistaken. Kamala Harris is not African-American. Her father's from Jamaica. Her mother's from India. And Kamala grew up in Canada. She has nothing in common with black people in America. She has no common experiences and she's not African-American. So The black community has no connection to her whatsoever. Kamala tried to run for president and couldn't even make it to the first primary because she was so unpopular. So she's completely irrelevant. If she wants to throw her hat in and run for president, she can run, but she's not going to get any votes.
What's the biggest takeaway for, let me rephrase that. Not really the biggest takeaway. What's the biggest concern in your mind as you look at Michelle Obama 2024 and the potential of her sitting in the Oval Office as the president come, you know, January 1st, 2025?
Well, the biggest concern is her, first of all, her immense popularity. She's probably the most popular person in the country. The fact that she's black and female means the media can attack anybody who doesn't agree with her and say, well, it's not because you don't agree with her policy. It's because you're a racist or sexist, or you have a problem with a woman, or you have a problem with a black person. You know, so she gives them a lot of tools to attack people that don't agree with this agenda. That's why I think Donald Trump, for example, could open a can of worms by tweeting or just saying things like, Michelle Obama, are you going to apologize for what you did to the black community in Chicago? Michelle Obama, are you going to apologize for kicking 20,000 black people out of their homes? Michelle, how much money did you make denying access to health care to the black community in Chicago? That would open a whole can of worms.
Sure.
Because she is a phony. I mean, I think her nickname from Trump should be phony Michelle Obama, because she is such a big phony and she's so manipulative and so inauthentic and dishonest when she talks about her life history and the fact that she's someone that exploited the black community in her career. She's someone that did white flight. Michelle lies and says that in the 70s that white people moved out of her neighborhood because of the black community. It's a complete and total lie. She lived in South Shore, by the way. Michelle's not from the South Side of Chicago. She's from South Shore, which is a upper middle class community on Lake Michigan.
Mm.
And there were a lot of white residents, but they all moved out by 1965 because of crime. And Michelle did not move into that area till 1971 as a 6-year-old. So she didn't see any white flight. It was all black. The white flight going on in the 70s was Michelle Obama. Michelle and her brother refused to go to schools with other black kids in their neighborhood. And it was Michelle and her brother who ran away. They were doing the white flight. So she is a total phony. But she's never had an original idea politically. She just copies other people. Her big buddy was Bernadine Dorn. That's where she got all that anti-American rhetoric from the 2008 campaign.
Right. Right.
Bernadine Dorn, one of the heads of the Weather Underground. Michelle was friends with her because she worked with her for 2 years at Sidley Austin Law Firm.
Mm-hmm.
So Michelle and Barack would go to the house of Bernadine Dorn and her husband, Bill Ayers, also Weather Underground fame, in the 90s for years. So the influence.
Who is the man who hosted Barack Obama's announcement in running for president, as I understand it?
Well, that's Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn at their house.
Right.
So you can't overstate the influence that these domestic terrorists had on the Obamas. So Michelle will simply copy, if she was president, she's going to just copy the same stuff she got from Bernadine Dorn. She'll say whatever's going on, whatever the radical progressive Democrats are saying, she'll just say that. She'll copy that. If you look at her Twitter account, all she does is copy whatever the radical Democrats are saying. So I think she has a psychological need to fit in. This is a long story, but she has something. She even talks about it openly, called imposter syndrome, where she believes that she doesn't belong. And I think she got that feeling as a child from her mother putting her in elementary school illegally so she could avoid studying with black kids. So she always feels she has to prove something to others. And that's why she conforms to this radical agenda.
Wow. Wow. Michelle Obama 2024, her real life story and plan for power, DVD and the book. You can watch, you can pick those up at Amazon, by the way. Amazon has both of those available. Can they buy it online and watch it as well, like the Trayvon?
Yeah, you can live stream the movie right now. You can watch the movie online at salemnow.com,
okay.
salemnow.com, or Amazon Prime Video. And the DVD and book version are going to be on amazon.com.
Okay, so with my Prime account, I could go over and type in Michelle Obama 2024 and watch the film. And how long is it?
The movie's 100 minutes.
Okay.
It's an hour and 40 minutes. The book's like 300 pages. They're both very different kind of presentations. One is film and one is in writing. You get a lot more background in the book. So definitely start with one of them and get the other as well.
Amen. Absolutely. And real quick, some of the other titles that you have out there that folks can get a hold of and the website.
Yeah. Also, the website for this film, Michelle Obama 24, MichelleObama24.com. You can see the trailer and read about all of it and get linked up. My other recent films, Trump, The Art of the Insult. It's on Amazon video and DVD. Trump, The Art of the Insult. The Trayvon hoax, where I blow the lid off of the fake witness in the Trayvon Martin case and show how, when Black Lives Matter started, it was all because of a hoax.
Yep.
And as you probably know, the George Floyd story years later was also a hoax. George Floyd was not strangled to death and did not die.
Did you do something on the George Floyd? Did you do a documentary on that? I didn't do a
documentary, but I've done a lot of research on that.
I had Miriam Heinen on, and she did a ton of stuff on that. I actually had her on the program, a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. And she had given, she put all that information out. Tucker had Tucker's people had it.
Her book and video just came out. I actually helped her a little bit with that, with some research on that. But it's interesting, the bookend was the Trayvon Martin case is where the Black Lives Matter started because of that, was a total hoax.
Yep.
And then the George Floyd case, which kind of blew up the country, was also a complete hoax with the same characters, with Benjamin Crump and Al Sharpton all involved.
Same guys you exposed.
Same guys. So had a number of films on the Middle East, Farewell Israel and Atomic Jihad. Of course, Dreams from My Real Father, about Obama's background. There's No Place Like Utopia, about progressivism in American cities. It's a great movie, also on Amazon. So I got a number of films. Just go to my main website is Highway61ENT, Highway61ENT for entertainment.com. You can peruse all my films and trailers.
Highway61ENT, Highway61ENT, Joel Gilbert. And I talk about you on my program all the time, Joel. I'm always telling people to check out, especially the Trayvon Martin piece. Thanks for being with me today. I really appreciate it. Again, Michelle Obama 2024. Be prepared, folks. Be prepared to have your arguments ready. Thanks, Joel, for all the work you do. Greatly appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks so much.
All right. We're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. And get ready. Texas Fully Loaded is coming up.